I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
This is an extreme law that will not and does not make the communities in Texas safer. It just doesn't. This is certainly extreme as we see it, and it is incredibly unfortunate, but this is what we see from particular Republicans trying to dehumanize a group of people who are coming here, or some of them trying to migrate here, and they're putting them in harm's way. They're putting them in harm's way.
I'm tired of her lies, John. I'm tired of this administration's lies. They are saying just the opposite of what's happening. They're the ones that have a policy that is seeing Americans killed by fentanyl. They're the ones who are seeing terrorists cross over our border. We know we've arrested about 300. They're the ones that are responsible for people drowning in the river. They're the ones responsible for women being raped across the border illegally. They're the ones responsible for all of this. And so we passed a law, and in Texas, the lieutenant governor is the president of the Senate. I oversee it. I was very involved in writing this bill with the senators and the governor's office, so I know it well, and we've had enough.
Had enough. That's the Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. Of course, in the beginning, you know the voice, the stumbling, fumbling around KJP, trying to explain in rationale, some rationale, excuse, whatever you want to call it, for why Biden is failing at the border. Oh, we're not failing. It's a broken system. We're just making the most of it. No, you're not. By the way, those of you who do watch our live streams, because when we're on the air live with you here, we do also have up streams we have on for you that you can watch at Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, or News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, and are on Rumble. And I begin every program during the opening with a salute, reporting for duty to you, basically. Well, I was wrapped up in looking at some new information I'd coming across here, and I failed to do it. And so when I did do it a moment ago, KJP was speaking. I promise you, I was not saluting her. I want to make that clear. But reminding you that if you want to watch any of the video, simply go to LarryConnorsUSA.com if you miss it, and it'll be there for you. You want to miss or listen to a program you missed? Same thing. Then you can also share them with others and get the truth out beyond just you and those who are listening at this point or watching. Here we are, December 22nd, 2023. Santa's coming. Kids, hang on. Very close here. Make sure it's still good. Of course, some will take the attitude, well, be good all those many days for, I'll take a chance on one day of coal. I don't care. No, you shouldn't do that. This is the second hour of Larry Connors USA, and reminding you that this program is 100% patriotic. Are there some political views that I express, mine and others? Sure. But my main purpose is what's good for our nation. And I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican when it comes to that. Unfortunately, the Democrats that I used to believed in supporting our nation, they still do, but the new Democrats that have surfaced, they're so far away. Even a JFK, John F. Kennedy, would not fit inside their box that they have now built. And here is KJP explaining that we're doing the best we can, and Lieutenant Governor Patrick saying, no, this law we passed through our legislature, a special session, basically allows us, if we catch you coming in our state illegally, we will arrest you. We'll charge you with a misdemeanor the first time and then send you back across the border. If you come back into our state and we arrest you a second time, now we have a record and we will put a federal, not a federal, but we'll put a felony charge against you. And that law, as written by Texas, pretty much parallels the federal law, which isn't being enforced. And the lieutenant governor of Texas says even the Democrats realize something's got to be done.
We are being overrun. Everyone knows it from McAllen, Texas, to New York City, to Chicago. Everybody knows it. This president is cold-hearted. He doesn't care about what's happening to American citizens or those coming here. This is something our founders never anticipated. They mm-hmm. never thought we'd be invaded by civilians and a drug cartel behind them that's as organized and as powerful, even maybe more so than the Mexican army. He knows he's going to be out of office this time next year. He knows the Democrats are going to go down, and he's trying to stuff every person he can into this country eventually so that they get citizenship and a right to vote. They're already, John, 8 million people who have crossed the border. That would be enough to be the 13th largest state in the country today if they were all in one state.
Yeah, and on top of that, those that come in, they give them notices to appear if they're applying for, quote, asylum. They've been taught, say asylum. If that's the only English word you speak, learn to say asylum, because the U.S. has to take you in. No, we don't. We can take their application for asylum, and they can go back to what Trump had in place, remain in Mexico until we adjudicate your asylum request. And here's a good reason that should be reinstated. A survey of how these cases have been put together by the Department of Homeland Security and others who are interested, immigration, customs enforcement. According to an investigation, these folks that are getting asylum at the border and given those court dates, the backlog is massive and getting bigger. Fox reports on one, a female border crosser recently arriving in Texas from Colombia. She was given a date to check in with ICE agents. Immigration, Customs Enforcement, to check in with them, a date just to check in, not a court date even, but to check in. The check-in date she got in New York City is for 2031. 2031. Will you please make sure in 2031 you go check in with Immigration and Customs? That's not even getting to the court case adjudicating. But again, KJP is going to try to tell you that, you know, we're doing everything we can.
What we're seeing here at the border, the migration flow, increased migration flow, certainly, it ebbs and flows. And we're at a time of the year where we're seeing more at the border. And it's not unusual. This is an immigration system that has been broken for decades. And the president has taken this very seriously to try to do more.
No one believes a word she said. Not unusual. That's the White House response to more than 200,000 illegal immigrants entering the country in December alone. And there's still one more week left in this year for Joe to shatter even more of his own bad records. Hillary Act columnist David Marcus. David, were you happy with that explanation?
Morning and Merry Christmas, Brian. Of course I wasn't. Now the administration is going to send Secretary Mayorkas to Mexico to secure the border. That's like sending the Hamburglar to McDonald's to protect the burgers.
And that was Brian Kilmeade of Fox News raising that question. Yeah, like sending the Hamburglar to go protect the burgers at McDonald's. The remarks from David Marcus, a columnist, are right on point. And he has another point that we all know is sitting right there in front of us.
It is a step, and it is a recognition from this administration going into an election year that they have a real problem, because they have a far left that wants to give every illegal migrant a free hotel room and tickets to Disney World. But now they also have a Democrat mayor in New York City and Eric Adams and black voters in Chicago who are saying, this is untenable. This is destroying our city. This is destroying our lives. So Biden's really between a rock and a hard place here.
And he should be. And many of those, again, we want to stress, that are also now upset. He mentioned the mayor of New York City. That's a Democrat. He mentioned the Chicago mayor. That's another Democrat. In other words, as we were hearing earlier from Florida Congressman Carlos Jimenez as to sending the border security, sending Department of Homeland Security and Secretary of State to the border, that's not going to do anything more than when he sent Kamala and appointed her the, quote, border czar. And to that extent, even again, Florida Congressman Jimenez, who is a Republican, says my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, they're getting fed up.
Even some Democrat senators, governors, mayors are now demanding some action at the southern border because it's really affecting their states and their cities in a very negative way. And it could be affecting their future election results. And so what do I expect from Mayorkas and Blinken going down to Mexico? Nothing. Because they have proven to be totally incompetent in both of their jobs. And so, you know, we got a couple of incompetent individuals going down to see the president of Mexico, hoping that he's going to help us, when in fact, it's all in the president's hands. Just change the policy. You know, Customs and Border Protection have told you from day one what you needed to do. You have chosen to ignore them. And I've said it for a long time. This is on purpose. This is not because they're incompetent. They want this to happen. You can't be this dumb. We know what we need to do. They just refuse to do it.
Now, again, that's Florida Congressman Jimenez that says they can't be that dumb. I'm not so sure they can't be. And if one woman the other day that came in, Texas, from Columbia, got a affidavit telling her that you need to check in with ICE agents in New York because that's where you want to go, you need to make sure you put it down on your calendar. You must report to them in 2031. That's just one of millions, literally. Maybe they are that dumb. Either way, the nation is paying the price. Now and for decades to come. With the Israeli-Hamas war continues, no sign of any let-up. Israel is offering a peace agreement for 1 week, ceasefire, if you'll give us 35 hostages. That would be all the rest of the women and any children and the elderly, especially any of those that need medical aid, if you'll do that. And Hamas is apparently rejecting. But there's no sign of let-up. And Iran-backed terrorists continue targeting U.S. positions in neighboring nations and ships off the coast of Yemen.
Bottom line is, these attacks have to stop. They need to stop. They're unacceptable. The United States, our allies and our partners, will do what we have to do to counter these threats and to protect these ships.
Press Secretary at the White House demanding it is not going to make it happen. What's going to make it happen is what you just said, American firepower, air and naval strikes against the Houthis, against their firing batteries, against their ammunition storage sites and other command and control facilities. That should have happened 2 months ago. The very first strikes the Houthis launched towards Israel or towards our ships or towards commercial vessels that are transiting through the Red Sea, where 1/8 of global commerce goes and even more of global oil trade. The fact that it hasn't happened yet is why these attacks are accelerating. It's the same kind of story you see against the strikes on our troops in Iraq and Syria. The more we let Iran's proxies get away with these attacks, the more we're going to get of them. And sooner or later, Americans are going to die.
And right there, we want to stop. When an American dies because of these attacks, as these terrorist groups with the umbrella of Iran are attacking our troop positions in Syria and in Iraq, they've already done it, and they continue doing it. Or they try to attack some of the ships off the Yemen coast, particularly our U.S. Navy ships that have been displaced in that area to help kind of form a little protection for the merchant ships going through. What's going to happen at that point? And part of it is we will not launch attacks directly into Yemen. We know where these rockets are coming and where they're being fired from directly, and we could wipe them out actually within seconds. And those who are manning them. But the administration is worried about that might create a bigger war. Well, then that's perfect, because the enemy has you on the ropes and knows that you don't even dare try to defend yourself or even punch back. And then the issue with the Red Sea, as you were hearing Arkansas Senator Cotton say, we basically have given the control of the Red Sea to Yemen. That Red Sea runs from the Mediterranean, 1,400 miles, down to the Indian Ocean. And as it dumps out into the Gulf of Aden, right at the point where Yemen is. It's a very narrow crossing. At the widest part, it is 200 miles wide. And it's very narrow at that point, making ships easy targets if you're trying to hit them. And as a result of that, we've already seen many shipping companies say, we're done, we're out of here, we're not going to bother with it anymore. In fact, earlier this week, the British Petroleum, let me get this exactly here in front of me. I had two different pieces of information I want to share with you. One is from BP, yeah, British Petroleum. They announced Monday they were going to pause any shipping through the Red Sea, any shipping. That means oil flows are being disrupted for Europe and other countries, and the price of a barrel of Brent, the global oil benchmark, has up 3.5% in a week, trading out $79. There was a 6-day blockage of the Suez Canal, where ships enter the Red Sea from the Mediterranean, in 2021, and it highlighted the importance of those shipping lanes when one container ship ran aground, and remember, shipments of consumer goods were delayed because they couldn't get around it. They couldn't move anywhere. Remember that? Well, now two major cargo companies, I'm talking about international cargo companies, saying they're imposing a transit disruption charge immediately. It's a surcharge on 27 different trade routes and an emergency contingency surcharge on those same routes from the new year, citing, quote, risk, delays, and difficulties in moving through the Red Sea. France has a major container company, international. They're doing the same thing. Prices are going to increase anywhere from $325, which doesn't sound like a lot, up to $1,000. But this is just the beginning. And it's also the blockage of supplies and or things that people use, grain for food and energy for those who are not solely bought into electric, and Europe is walking away from that. And I'm looking at a piece here that Houthi rebels are claiming responsibility for two attacks just the other day as they were leaving the Strait of the Red Sea, between the Horn of Africa and the Arabian Peninsula. You're going to let them control that major shipping lane? Not a good idea. And again, Israel says we're willing to cease fire for a week if you'll release at least 35 hostages, all the women and any children and anyone who needs medical aid. We'll give you 1 week. Now, I know Israeli intel will still be working hard to get additional targets, but they won't be actually shooting or bombing during that time. Hamas's attitude is, no, we'll just hide it here in the hospital and under the baby beds. You don't dare come after us. We know that is not going to prove to be true. Coming up, how so many of the minority community, in particular the black population, is turning to Trump, and why? And, of course, the battle to keep Trump off the ballot anyway. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington, and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. So, as always, be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local and
global. People, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 1019 941 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
I have a great whiskey suggestion. Stolach Whiskey, created using natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Next time, get a bottle. But if you're going to share with friends, you better get at least two bottles. Stolach has the Larry Connors seal of approval. See the full story at Stolach.com. Stolach, Stolloch, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Oh, hey, I got something really big here for you. Do you remember the Seinfeld episode where Kramer's father, no, I take it back, George's father would celebrate Festivus, his own little festival instead of Christmas or anything like Festivus, and all the money that would be wasted around Festivus and so forth. Well, Dr. Rand Paul, is out with his latest Festivus report on government waste, looking at $900 billion worth of government waste. I cannot wait to share that with you coming up in a moment. But first, let's deal with the issue at hand. And that is, of course, there's still an effort underway based out of Colorado to get Trump not allowed on the ballot, not the primary ballot. So Republicans in Colorado say, well, we'll just have a caucus and we won't even bother with it. But they also want to keep him off the general ballot. So if he wins the Colorado primary caucus, he wouldn't be able to get on the ballot if they get their way. And California's considering it, as are other blue states. And I told you, you watch, it's going to come back and bite them in the butt. And now we've got three Republican lawmakers from swing states, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, say, we're passing a bill based on the same thing Colorado did to keep Biden off the ballot. I love it. Bottom line is, they're all basing it on Article 3 of the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, and for the most part, it's an article that's been dismissed decades ago, actually the late 1880s, because it was meant to keep Civil War generals, leaders, who were true insurrectionists, from ever holding office in the future. So they want to consider that Trump is an insurrectionist, much as what we had when the South departed, to use that word, seceded, if you wanted that, basically said goodbye to the North, we're going to have our own state. And, of course, I always had a history teacher, when you actually had history teachers who teach history, and I know there's some out there. I don't mean that as a slam of those who are doing their job the best they can, while also trying to deal with CRT and who knows what else they put in front of you. She didn't never like to call it the Civil War. There was nothing civil about it. It's the war between the states. And I have to agree with her. And we had 620,000 Americans die on both, when you tally on both sides. In some cases, brother against brother, or family against family. Now here we are in 2023, moving to a new presidential election 2024. The polling for Biden is bad everywhere. And one mainstay of the Democrats has always been the black vote. Two things are happening. And part of it's going to be their own making. The open border policy, more illegals coming in, mostly Hispanic. Now, there are some coming in from Africa and some of the African nations, but most are Hispanic. And the Hispanic population numbers are exploding. And they're more likely are Roman Catholic. They're going to be against abortions, and they're probably not going to want to support somebody who's in favor of it. So Democrats, you created that. And on top of that, you're diluting the base you always relied upon, the black vote, because Hispanics will in the near future outnumber the black populace and outnumber the Caucasian populace. But just dealing with the black support growing and growing for Trump, I have a piece from Epic Times I want to share with you. And the way it is written, it begins this way, it's pointing out that the rise of black support for Trump. Black Americans, who have often been entrenched Democrat voters, are starting to rethink their stance as the economy hits them and the justice system hits Trump. Most of us have always known, regardless of the color of your skin, unless you're born with a serious mental deficiency, you can think for yourself, and you can make your own decision. But the Democrats had the idea if they could just kind of put a ring in your nose and lead you to the polls, you'll vote the way they want you to. And that's what they relied on in the black community for all these years. And they got black pastors to buy into it to help promote it, just as they did the genocide of blacks, and that would be abortion. They continue in the article, fearing backlash, some black people feel they can only whisper, "I'm voting for Trump." But others are becoming louder and prouder. One of them they point out to is Mark Fisher, co-founder of a Black Lives Matter group in Rhode Island. And he recently made some waves by endorsing former President Trump. He told the Epic Times, "I knew I was going to pay a price for it, but I felt like the benefit of doing it far outweighed the cost of me playing it safe." He said, "I feel obligated to clear a path for those who think the same way I do. But for many of those of color, especially black, if you're for Trump, you're considered renegades at the least." That's because all the Democrats who tried to brand Trump as racist to brown people and black people and yellow people. But the tide appears to be showing, turning. Opinion polls are showing more black voters are willing to break rank, as Mark Fisher did. Since Trump's win in 2016, black support for him has more than tripled, now exceeding 20% in some surveys. Polling suggests that blacks and other minorities who once turned away from Trump now appear willing to give his candidacy a fresh look. Now, Trump had said to black voters in particular, "Have they done anything for you? Have the Democrats done anything to make things better for you over the decades they've had control of your cities? Have they done what they said they were going to do? Well, then why not vote for me? Why not take a chance? What do you got to lose?" And a lot of people bought in on that. And they got him elected in 16. The Epic article continues saying that three factors appear to be pushing more blacks to move toward Trump. And this also, they're quoting again Mark Fisher, who spoke to them, the economy, the criminal justice system, the influence of other black people going public with their support. Talking about the economy, everybody's feeling it in regards to skin color, higher prices for gasoline, grocery, housing, and for months polls have been showing a vast majority of citizens disapprove of the economic policies dubbed Bidenomics. David Axelrod, a analyst for Obama, was talking about that very thing the other day. He said, they know it's failing, and what do? They put Biden up beside a sign that says Bidenomics, and it immediately turns people off. He said, they don't know what they're doing. That's fine by me that the Democrats don't know it. And I say, mostly you're talking about the progressives. There are smart Democrats. I have some friends who are Democrats. Yes, we're friends. We don't have to fight and feud over politics all the time. Why do that? Find the things you have in common. Work on that, and the rest. If they're a patriot, we're friends right there. Then they talk about how, again, according to Fisher, Mark Fisher, who part of the Black Lives Movement in Rhode Island, said blacks are also upset with violent crime and illegals running amok. Look at the city of Chicago when they want to put up a tent city for illegals in the poorest section of Chicago, which includes minorities and the citizens, American citizens of Chicago, don't want it. And they're still trying to put it in place anyway. And they expect, yeah, we're going to have more crime here and everything else. We don't want that. That's not going to help our community. And then you get prominent people, including musicians, coming forward saying they support Trump. Mark Fisher said, those kinds of endorsements made me believe I'm not alone. I saw other black people expressing themselves, displaying courage, independent thought, not being afraid of what other people think about them, and I felt my community needed me to do that. He said, yeah, I took a lot of heat, a lot of powerful, impactful, profound messages, supporting and basically calling him out. Trump made a phone call to him, a surprise call, an invitation to dinner. And some blame Trump, saying, well, you're just trying to gloss over the BLM issue. Trump and BLM have accused each other of sowing seeds of hatred and violence. And Fisher did make a remark there. He said, I felt like the white racists hate me and the black racists hate me. He's acknowledging you can be black and still be a racist, and that's true. If you think you are better than someone because of the color of your skin, you're a racist. I made a commentary the other day, and I pointed out, somebody asked me about that because I concluded it. I'm trying to recall the exact germ that created the commentary. By that, I mean the smart opinion I came up with. But basically, I said, remember that Jesus Christ was more dark than white, and he was. He was born in Judah, Jerusalem, Middle East. He was closer to a blend between Hispanic and black than white. So all the pictures that many of us grew up in Bible school with of a white Jesus, that's fiction. It's fiction simply based upon the people of that region of the world. And yet there are some that are using that as a reason, as the Klan did. Well, we can't accept the people of a different color. Jesus is white. You're wrong. You're wrong. Before we wrap up today, I want you to hear a song that I've said I won't play it at my funeral, and it's done by Elvis Presley. I'm not asking Elvis to do it. But before that, Dr. Rand Paul and his 2023 Festivus Report on Government Waste. Oh, you're going to love this. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is News Talk STL.
One of the five most traumatic experiences in life is moving. I can assure you that McGuire Moving can help ease that pressure. Moving into a new home or a new business, locally, internationally. McGuire is rated number one. More than 80 years of experience. Free estimate, call McGuire, 314-241-0600, 241-0600, McGuireMoving.com.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield is so luxurious you might think you have to be a member. You don't, but you will quickly see why Lit won the 2023 Riverfront Times Best Smoking Lounge, Best Smoke Shop for the second time in a row. Quality cigars, premium drinks. So join me at Lit, just off 40 in the district at Chesterfield. For special events, entertainment, always check the website, litstl.com, litstl.com.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in if it hadn't been for love.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, every year, Rand Paul puts together a list of government waste. And this time it totals, and he acknowledges in the beginning, this involves not just Democrats, but Republicans and the government waste, this time totaling to your debt and everything you're dealing with. The total of the waste he's found and identified reaching $900 billion, and he calls it the Festivus Report.
And at the Festivus dinner, you gather your family around and tell them all the ways they have disappointed you over the past year.
Yeah, just like George's father and Kramer, the Festivus Report, how they all disappoint you all through the year. Well, let's go through some of these. I'll give you a thumbnail sketch very quickly. One, an NIH grant to study Russian cats walking on a treadmill. Yes. Barbie's used as proof of ID for receiving COVID paycheck protection program funds. $6 million to promote tourism in Egypt. $200 million to struggling artists like... struggling artist? Post Malone? Chris Brown? Lil Wayne? Lil Wayne, I mispronounced it. Well, let's get into more of the weeds here. It is, again, the Festivus Report.
Festivus is back!
It's back. So the Barbie doll used to get COVID PPP funds. What they said, as he looks at this, he said, we were supposed to be using an AI system to verify proof of identity, quickly expose the verification of the program. It did not catch the images of dolls uploaded by fraudsters. Somehow the SBA, the Small Business Administration, carelessly approved applicants from Toyland and sent out improper COVID-19 PPP funding. $800 billion went out the door that way. Oh, my God. This is, and then we've got another one. He said, it doesn't take a genius to detect the dangers that come from spending that money that we don't have anyway. And then he found another. He said, just paying our interest payments for the fiscal year 2022. $475 billion just for the interest in my Festivus report.
Well, happy Festivus.
And then he says, Dr. Fauci's monkey business. $33.2 million to run the NIH's Monkey Island. Monkey Island, known to South Carolina locals as truly Monkey Island, is a 3,000 monkey colony on state-owned land in South Carolina. And Fauci and the NIH had a $33 million contract with the local businesses to house, feed, and care for these monkeys before they're sent to research labs around the country. Now, here you are trying to feed your family and trying to put together your money for a good meal on the table. Now, I'm not saying the monkeys got to eat better food than you did, but they got to eat, and it was not them earning the money for it. It was $33 million to go feed them and take care of them, and I will guarantee you right now, a lot of that money, if you really looked into it, you're probably going to find out that monkey business was big business. It was a fraud. Another example of Festivus.
Take him, Georgie.
Hey, come on. Be sensible.
Stop crying and fight your father.
Ow! Ow, I got
this is
I
the best Festivus ever.
That's great. My co-producer, Quentin, coming up with it. This is great, Quentin. Thanks. And I mentioned a moment ago, $6 million to boost Egyptian tourism. He says, you want to float in a hot air balloon around Egyptian ruins or travel down the Nile? Well, Egypt might be the next spot for your vacation. He said, I have nothing against tourism, but why are we funding a tourism program boosting tourists come to Egypt? $6 million? And he said, U.S. has spent more than $100 million already on this, and now they added another $6 million this last year. All right, once again, another Festivus for you. The USDA has cutting-edge research, and he calls it walking hot dogs. I know you think, no way. Yeah, way. Rand writes in his report, when you walk outside in the summer, you get hot, right? When Labrador retrievers are walked outside in the summer, they also get hot. Getting hot while working outside or walking outside in the heat might be obvious, but the USDA allocated, quote, cutting-edge research to support a summer study. I want to be on one of these study committees sometime. They walked 16 dogs of two different colors and measured their rectal temperatures. I can't make this stuff up. And you paid for it, by the way. Researchers found the lab's fur color did not affect their body temperatures. That's cutting-edge analysis. Walk these dogs, 16 of them, half of them a dark color, half a light color, and then check their rectal temperature and see if there's any change. Well, they found out after spending all this money, the Ag Research Center of the USDA funded the study at Southern Illinois University, getting $1.7 billion a year from Congress. It's not known exactly how much of that went to the walking hot dogs. Now, I do remember years ago, there was either in Rand Paul's report on Festivus spending, or however you want to deal with it, somebody put out one talking about how there was a study at I think it was Texas A&M. That's why I was absolutely amazed that that kind of money went to A&M for this kind of study. It found and learned that young girls, when they drink too much, they get more sexually active and permissive. Any teenage boy knew that. Come on. But they spent an inordinate amount of money and research grant to prove it. All right, I mentioned the cats on a treadmill. Russian cats. 2.7 million from the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, given to a researcher at the Georgia Institute of Technology. The institute then subgranted the funds to researchers in St. Petersburg, Russia. Russian scientists funded with that money posted videos of their catwalk studies, which showed shaved cats hooked to electrodes struggling to walk on a treadmill. Now, I don't know. I don't see anything here that says no animals were hurt in this experiment. I don't know. But if they're hooked to electric and electrodes and walking on a treadmill and they fall down, yeah, they're going to be hurt. But again, $2.7 million went for that. By the way, you remember the movie, that one line, I see dead people? You remember that? The government paid $38 million to dead people. Yep. Again, Rand Paul and his Festivus report.
D-Day for Festivus, a Festivus for the rest of us.
They found that $38 million in COVID payments, an average of $83,000 each, went to people that Uncle Sam knew were dead. Now, this came from a special task force Congress authorized to track the COVID payments. They'll send it to Barbie dolls and baby faces from toys, but they were also sending some to dead people. The government doled out $1.3 million to 30 individuals who are dead for at least a year. Fraud inspectors deemed it, quote, a particularly egregious example. You think? But overall, the total came to $38 million for dead people. And not all the funds came back because, you know, dead people are deadbeats. They're not going to pay back the money. Another Festivus report.
Happy Festivus, Georgie.
The DOD makes purchases for military operations. Again, this is in Rand Paul's statement. You would imagine that means weapons, ammunition, and so forth. But, if you're thinking that might also include tanks, not the kind you're thinking about. The DOD paid $8,395. Now, all right, $8,000 with all the millions and so forth, that's, you know, a drop, a sesame seed in the midst of billions and billions of ears of corn. Try to find it. But this lobster tank was purchased from a restaurant company. That's right. It's a lobster tank to put lobsters in. They bought it from a restaurant equipment company in Virginia. And Rand Paul says, why does the DOD need a lobster tank? It's a good question, and I don't see anything that explains it. And then we have this. Rand Paul points out, no auto mechanic said, I know, to make your vehicle run better, let's just store the engine outside. He points out that $89 million worth of engines, including 80 gas turbine engines, were basically stored outside for 3 years improperly. Some got stolen, and rather than being in a covered area, we just left them for the elements, and how do you think they ended up working? They don't. And while we're speaking about engines, the Department of Defense also found that 135 hydraulic transmissions valued at $12.6 million were also stored outside. Again, leaving them in the rain, you think would be basic. You don't do that, and then they don't work. That's just part of Rand Paul's Festivus.
What a lovely day for Festivus, a Festivus for the rest of us.
Thanks, Quint. That's a great, great idea that we put in. Folks, when you hear this, make sure you share it to others so they can get a good laugh out of it. Now, I want to close out this hour, as I did the preceding hour, actually. But it's going to be a little bit different because, as always, I will never say the same thing twice, even if I try to, even if I write it down. But this song does fit the season, and it's very special to me, and I'll explain why in a moment. This rendition features Elvis Presley. But now I see those words strike right to my heart, and they should yours. How many times are we blind to things that we think are what we have to have or what should be done, and we just don't really open our eyes fully? And then when you recognize that you have not counted all the blessings you have, you're always looking for the things that are wrong, or you're trying to make someone else's life miserable just because you can, at some point you realize, I am totally on the wrong lane here. I never should be here. The words to the Amazing Grace were written by an Anglican minister, John Newton. But prior to writing it, he was on a ship, in charge of a ship, exporting slaves. There was a big shipwreck. He survived. And that, his eyes were blind, but then he saw. So he went into the ministry, wrote this as part of a sermon to be delivered New Year's Day, 1773. The music was later added in 1835. The entire song is about redemption, the joy of receiving God's grace, even when you've done most horrific things. God has amazing grace.
When we
Newton, by the way, as I mentioned, was nearly killed in a shipwreck off the coast of Ireland, 1748. He said he prayed desperately to God to save him and his ship from sinking. Ship was being tossed back and forth by the waves. Some of the crew swept overboard. Newton was spared. The ship reached safety. And I don't know if they had slaves on board at that point or not, but that was the purpose of what he was doing, transporting slaves. But he acknowledged that that event was his moment of conversion to Christianity, which set him on a path to redemption. He became a minister. I was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like Larry Connors, or you, or others. Here we are at Christmas, the birth of Christ, that forgives our sins if we ask for it. I can really encourage you to consider that. But also on behalf of Quentin and the rest of the staff here at News Talk STL and Larry Connors USA Total, We wish you a most blessed Christmas. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.